Good morning. Very happy to see everyone this morning and pray and thankful that you guys have found time to come out and join with the church to sit through a Sunday school class or to come and sit through our wonderful time of worship. So we're so thankful to have you here. We appreciate you. If you have your bulletins there, let's crack them open. There's not much to talk about, but let's hit some high notes here. Just as a reminder, this coming Wednesday will be the 31st. We will not have our normal Wednesday night services. And so people, you guys can go and hang out with your families and do whatever you guys do to celebrate the new year coming in. So we won't have Wednesday services this coming Wednesday. But January 2nd is our next scheduled ladies' night. And if I remember correctly, today's the last day for you to sign up. And so there's a sign-up sheet out there in the Hallelujah Hallway for you to sign up. And what they're going to be working on is like a prayer thing to remind you of things that you're praying about, things that have you had your answered prayers. I'm sure it's going to be a wonderful thing. Jamie showed me a picture of it, and it looks super cool. So if you are interested in that, January 2nd, 5:30, sign-up sheet's out there. Is the 28th right, Sarah? Today's the last day. Yes, today's the last day. So if you're interested in that, today's your day. Today's your last shot. Also, a reminder of the Hope Live Pregnancy Center. I pray that you guys continue to be praying for them, always looking for volunteers, and always willing to help support them financially. We support them as a church, so you are supporting them through your tithing, but if you're also interested in supporting them in another way, you see the information right there. All right, Steve, I believe this is going to be our last emphasis on the Lottie Moon. I think we've got one more video to watch.
I just want to say that we appreciate having partners like you joining us in this effort to pray for the Japanese people. We have colleagues here in Japan who are trying to motivate and inspire a million hours of prayer. So I would encourage you, as you are praying for the various events going on around Japan, as well as the ministries that are happening, not just here in Tokyo, but also there are missionaries reaching out all over Japan.
There was an article about Japan, and the title was, Who Will Fill Their Shoes? And it was an article about how many missionaries were retiring.
Like everybody, you first come and you learn the language, because Japanese, they laugh and cry in Japanese. And so that was our assignment for those early years. And later, we went out and started a church. And that was one of the great, great privileges of missionary service. I mean, to realize that Carlton from RVA has a chance to go into all the world and share this transforming message, how can it get better than this?
All right, so again, I know you guys have been praying for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, and I pray that you'll continue to do that. Also, if you haven't yet and you feel called to, on the back of your bulletin, there is a QR code if you would like to support that ministry. Again, as a church, we do support that ministry, but if you would like to support them even more, that opportunity does exist out there. All right? We've got some birthdays we're going to celebrate today. Maggie's birthday. She is, unfortunately, Maggie isn't feeling well, but she is joining us from Facebook Live, and so we wanted to get her picture up on there to let her know that we pray that she feels better. We also have Regina's birthday is today. Very good. And then I believe we got a couple pictures of Scott on there. Yeah. And then Rip's birthday also. I legit thought he was really clapping, and I was like, oh, they're making him clap. I was so impressed there for a second. And then, I believe, last but not least, Kaylin's birthday. Kaylin, do you have to wear a bib when you eat often? Yes, you do? Just in there? Okay, very good. Again, we want to come together. We want to celebrate one another because we are a family. We come together as a family. We want to celebrate as a family, and it's a good thing that we desire to come together and do this. And so I'm so appreciative of that for everyone. But what we're going to do now is Raphael and Crystal are going to come forward and lead us in worship, that when we're able to give and be producers of worship to the only thing in our life worthy of our worship, and that's God. So let's pray about that. Dear God, we thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the time that you gave us in the small group studies this morning. I thank you for the time that you give us right now to come together as the church, as a family. So thank you for that. Lord, we just pray that right now as we begin singing these songs of worship, that we're able to set aside the distractions of today. We're able to set aside the distractions of tomorrow and the weeks that are coming. And Lord, we're truly able to focus upon you right now and to be producers of worship, not consumers, right? We're not consuming this, but to be producers of worship because we understand who you are. We're so thankful that you sent your son to step out of glory and step into reality, right? To be the payment of for our sins on the cross that then gives us the opportunity to come to you and to be in your presence. And so, Lord, we thank you for those truths. And Lord, we're just so thankful for the time that you give us right now to be reminded of who you are, to be reminded of our need for a Savior, and Lord, to be thankful for who you are. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Well, good morning. I invite you, let us stand and let us worship our Lord this morning.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the clap. When the saved ever shall gather over on the other shore, and the road is called of yonder, I'll be there. When the road is called of yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and frightful morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share. When his chosen ones shall gather home beyond the skies, and the road is called of yonder, I'll be there. When the road is called of yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us lay before the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the road is called of yonder, I'll be there. When the road, when the road is called of yonder, when the road is called of yonder, I'll be there.
That he gave to us is eternal, as is he. And that is why we worship him, and that is why we crown him with many crowns. Let us do so through worship.
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave, who rose victorious to the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, again rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown him the Lord of peace, whose power a scepter sways. From pole to pole that wars may cease, and all be prayer and praise. His reign shall know no end, and round blessed and their fragrance ever sweet. Crown him the Lord of love, behold his hands and side. Those wounds yet visible above in beauty glorify. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for thou hast died for me. Thy praise and glory shall not fail throughout eternity.
Psalm 1, 1 through 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. What a wonderful psalm to be reminded that we are to build our life on our Lord Jesus Christ, for he is the foundation that will never be moved. He is that which will never change, and he is eternal as his promises are eternal. So let us sing and worship him, and let us build our life together. Worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy. Love to those
I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my love in you alone, and I will not be shaken.
Sing that song in prayer, knowing that he will respond and knowing that he will open the eyes of our heart. And we know we can follow these promises because he lives. Because on the third day after he was crucified, he rose from the grave and he ascended into heaven and is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for us day in and day out. And what a beautiful promise, knowing that we can face today and tomorrow, whatever that may bring, because our Savior lives and he is alive. Let us join together as one church, as one voice, and let us praise him because he lives. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my sin. Because he lives. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know.
and then one day I'll cross that river, I'll find life's final war with pain, and then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know He lives, because He lives. All fear is gone, because I know because He lives.
Amen. You may be seated.
Psalms 119, verses 9 through 11. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you.
Let's pray. Father God, we come to you right now, Lord. Thank you for the blessing it is to be here today, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity we have to come together and to study your word and to fellowship with each other and to sing praises to you. God, we thank you for the multitude of blessings that you give us. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to give a portion of that back to you. Father, I just ask that you would guide us and direct us as we do our part to advance your kingdom. Lord, I just pray that you would continue to work through us, Father, and I thank you for all that you're doing in the life of this church. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
All right, our kids will head on off to Children's Church. We pray for their time. Thankful for our leaders that are willing to dedicate their time to serve our young ones. They're making it there. There we go. Want to give you some stats today. You guys know I love stats. Every January, millions, and the word is millions is correct, millions of people sign up for gym memberships, right? They're excited, they're pumped, they're like, this is the year. This is the year that I get in shape. And I always like to point out to people, round is a shape. And so technically we're all in shape, but they're excited. They're going to go to the gym, and they're going to get in shape, and they're going to eat good, and they're going to look healthy. But the reality is this, is that 67% of people who pay for a gym membership will never walk through the doors of the gym. So over half of the people that pay for it never go. And the other approximately 43% go maybe twice on average. And they never go back, but they keep paying for their membership. And then eventually, they don't understand. They're like, well, man, I've got a gym membership, but I'm not in any better shape than I was before I bought the gym membership. And then you and I know instantly the reason that is owning a gym membership is not the same as going to the gym and exercising. But it brings us to what I wanted to focus on today, and this will be our last topical sermon. We'll be back in Matthew next week. But as we head off into the new year, I think this is a good place to look at something here, is that the reality is there's no such thing as effortless physical growth. It just does not exist. You can't sit on your couch and eat Krispy Kremes and then wonder why you're not 130 pounds or whatever you're supposed to be, right? That's like what one of my legs weigh, 130 pounds, right? It just doesn't work that way. And so what I think also happens for us as Christians, we have that same mentality, right? Well, I've got a Bible. I've even got a pew that's my pew. It's not really your pew, by the way, but it's the pew that you choose to sit in. You might even have a desire to grow, and you've got good intentions, and I want to be more like Christ and less like the world. But the reality is this, the same issue that affects people who pay for these gym memberships that never go affects Christians as well if you just simply come here and sit. Right? And so this is not what God has called you to do, right? We're not called to be pew sitters. We're not called to just say, well, I've got the membership. I am a member of that church. But if you don't commit to it and you don't serve it and you don't read your Bible and you don't pray, if you don't do those things, I can guarantee you one thing, you will never grow in your Christianity. You will stay exactly where you're at. And this is what we're going to talk about today. We're going to be looking at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. Right? God says this, or the God doesn't say this. Paul says this as he writes of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. That's what we're going to be focusing on today. Training ourselves for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Let's pray. Dear God, again, we just come to you today with humble hearts. Lord, we just want to thank you for this wonderful season that we're in. Lord, we just thank you for the reminder of how much you loved us when Jesus stepped out of glory and stepped into our reality. Lord, we're just so thankful for that. Lord, we're just thankful for a Christmas Eve service that we were able to celebrate that and how many people were here to hear the gospel message. So, Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunities that you continue to give us in this season and in others to be the light, to speak truth into the world, to be the salt. Lord, to remind people of what our joy is in. Lord, to show and model for people that, Lord, we are not living for today. We are living for an eternity in your presence. So we thank you for that. And Lord, we just pray that as we enter into another year, Lord, we just pray that we continue to grow in Christ-likeness. Lord, I pray that for myself, and I pray it for everyone here today and those joining us at home also. Lord, I pray that this time next year, we won't even recognize ourselves right now because we've grown so much in you. And Lord, we know where that strength comes from. That comes from the indwelling of the Spirit. But Lord, as we look at Scripture today, that also has to come from some effort on our behalf also. We have to put time in and we have to put work in, not for our salvation, praise God for that, but for our growth and our desire to be disciplined. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we want to jump right in here, and I just want to kind of set the context for us because this is our first time in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy is one of the three what's known as the pastoral epistles, right? This is Paul writing to pastors and explaining to them how they do it. Timothy is serving at the church in Ephesus is where he's at. And so he's got a mess on his hands, right? He's learning. He's a young pastor. He's a young shepherd. He's trying to guide this church. And the main issue in his church is almost the main issue in every epistle is false teachers are teaching things that are counter to what Scripture teaches. And Paul is writing to Timothy, trying to encourage him, hey, man, get a hold of this, get ahead of this, head this off before your church goes off the rails, right? And so false teaching is the main issue, but there's also confusion over traditions. Right? The early church really was confused over this. Well, are we Jewish or are we Christian? Do we have to follow the Jewish rules? Do we follow some of the Jewish rules? Do we follow some of the Christian, you know, what Scripture teaches? And so there was some confusion over that. There were some myths. And one of the things that I think gets missed a lot when doing the context of 1 Timothy, there also was a problem in the church of just passive believers. People that claimed to be Christians but were just sitting there and doing nothing. And I think that's an important thing for us to talk about there, right? And so what do we want to look at today, right? We want to jump right in there to Scripture, and the first thing we want to talk about this is the foundation of why spiritual disciplines matter. First one is this, is godliness requires intentional effort. We have to be intentional in our lives. That word there you see there in verse 7, rather train yourself. Right, that word train in the Greek, that is gymnasio. That's where we get the word gymnasium from, right? Because where do you go? You go to the gym to work out. You go to the gym to grow your muscles. You go to the gym to increase your cardiovascular by running around in circles of the gym. And the reality is this, is to get better at a sport, you have to do what? You have to practice. And not just practice, you have to have purposeful practice. You have to show up and say, today is the day I'm working on this. Today is the day I'm going to work on dribbling with my left hand. Or if you're opposite, I'm dribbling with my right hand. You have to be intentional. We as Christians, we also have to be intentional in our practice to be more like Christ and less like the world. And so we have to be intentional with this, right? The other thing, and I think this has been mistaught in churches for many years, decades, is that people teach that the Christian life is passive. Well, you just show up, and it just happens, and this works out, and that works out. The reality is this, is God works in us, but we also are called to work as well, right? We see this in Philippians chapter 2. Verses 12 through 13, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What does that mean? Is you got to be studying. You got to be practicing this stuff. You have to be purposeful. You have to wake up every day and remind yourself, do I want to be more like Christ today, or do I want to be more like the world? And when you make that decision, by the way, the right answer is more like Christ. I'm sure most of you got that. But then you're like, well, what do I do to be intentional in that? I have to be careful what I listen to. I have to be careful with what I read. I have to be careful the conversations I use. I have to be careful who I hang out with. That's one of the things, and you know, we teach this to our young kids, and I think it's very true. We teach this to our youth, and we share it with them. Be careful the company you keep. I think everyone agrees that's good advice to give to a young person. It's also good advice to give to an adult. Be careful who you hang out with, because as much as you'd have a desire to lift them up out of the mud and get them more on the path of salvation, it is so much easier for them to pull you back down into that mud and muck with them. And so do you have to set aside time to share the gospel with those people? Absolutely. But be very careful that they don't begin to affect you and your spiritual growth begins to recede because they are affecting you. We have to be careful in that. So we have to be active, right? Spiritual disciplines position us in a position that we grow in our understanding of who God is and that he wants to give these things to us. Like it says there in that first bit of scripture, right? There are, you know, for bodily training, there is some value. There is some value in you trying to be healthy, moving around a little bit. All of us probably should move around a little bit more. All of us should probably eat a little bit better. We went to the Waffle House last night, right? And I'm a Waffle House machine, man. I'm like, I can eat some Waffle House. And I asked for a little extra. I said, can I just have a little extra meat in my hash brown bowl? And the guy back there, the short order chef, was cooking it up. And I was leaving. I thanked him because, man, he hooked me up. He gave me way more than he should have, right? And I said, man, I appreciate that. He goes, hey, big guy, big bowl, big chicken. I hooked you up, man. I was like, yes, you did, right? I was like, yes, sir, you sure did, right? And so there is value in being careful what we put in our bodies and how we're trying to be healthy. But that just has a temporary benefit, right? Like what Paul is saying there when he's writing to Timothy, but when we talk about godliness and we talk about this discipline, right, it affects our daily life, it affects our witness, and probably most importantly, we could discuss this, but probably most importantly, it affects your eternity. This is what discipline does for us. It puts us on the right path to be able to spend eternity in the presence of your Lord and Savior. And the reality is this, if you're not growing in these disciplines, if you're not being intentional in this, you are missing out on blessings in your life. That's just truth, right? Some more stats for you. 80%, well, I say 80% of people who make New Year's resolutions will give up on them within 2 months. By February, 80% of you all, and some of you all might be, I'm going to make a resolution, I'm going to do something new the next New Year. 80% of you all are going to quit that by February, right? It's so bad that the second week in January, the second Friday in January is known as Quitter's Day because almost everyone has quit by then. This eating healthy is for the birds. I'm out, right? I'm not going to the gym. You see, most people don't go to the gym. The reality is for us as Christians is, man, we can't quit on this. We can't quit on this desire to be more disciplined in Christ. We can't quit on serving the Lord. We can't quit on prayer. We'll get to some, I'm going to give you some specific disciplines that I think are good for you. You can't quit on these things because spiritual disciplines benefit us forever. And that's what's at stake here. That's what we're talking about here. It's very important to understand that. And so what is the purpose? What is the purpose of us desiring to be more disciplined in Christ, right? I think John addresses this in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. It's a big chunk of scripture, but I'm going to read it for us. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. That's an amazing picture right there. Just that alone, as the God the Father taking care of us and helping us and doing, oh, it's beautiful. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it might bear more fruit. Oh, it's beautiful, right? Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Like, what does abide mean? Abide is like act in accordance, follow. And what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to abide in Christ, right? And so we have to talk about this because the early church was very confused on this theological point. Is that praise be to God, we are not saved by works, right? We are saved through our faith. But in our faith, when we understand and we see the beauty of Christ and we see how wonderful he has been to us, what does that produce in us? It naturally produces works that spring out of our faith. And so when we talk about disciplines, people love to push back against this and say, well, that's just legalism. It is not legalism. Legalism is trusting in these things for your salvation. We are not trusting in these disciplines for our salvation. We are trusting in these disciplines. Why? Because it grows us and allows us to abide in Christ even more. This is exactly what John is addressing here, right? Without Christ, these disciplines are just empty routines, right? Praying without Christ is just superstitious, right? You've heard the saying, there's no atheist in foxholes, right? The guy's in a battle and bullets are flying and he starts praying. That's just a superstition to him, because if he doesn't believe in Christ, that prayer doesn't mean anything, right? Reading scripture without Christ, it just becomes information only. You guys have heard me share, one of my New Testament professors was an atheist and a lesbian, right? And I remember the first day, and I'm like, this should be interesting. Like, I don't know what we're going to do here. Hey, she could draw maps better than anybody I ever knew, right? She knew scripture, but it was just information only to her. It didn't mean anything other than that, right? And so if we're not abiding in Christ, it's just an information book. It's just a history book, right? And also, discipline without Jesus, it just becomes a dead religion, because now we're just following rules. And so Christ has to be at the center of all of these things. And this is what it is that through them, Christ helps shape our minds, our affections, and our actions, right? The way I read this illustration, it's so good, right? The branch that bears fruit, how does the branch that bears fruit? Because it's abiding in Christ, right? The fruit is attached to the vine, who is Christ, and God is the vine dresser taking care of the whole plant. And so what are disciplines, right? Disciplines are like the trellis that supports us. It kind of holds us up, right? It's not what gives the fruit, because the vine is what gives the fruit. That is Christ. But what are disciplines? They're like a support structure that help hold us up. Here is a wonderful truth. This is my opinion, so take it for what it's worth. I believe every single one of your lives will improve with additional disciplines. Not just disciplines in your eating habits or disciplines in what you put into your body or how you exercise, but what I'm focused on right now is that I can guarantee you your understanding of the Lord will improve if you improve your disciplines. If you spend more time with Him, you will grow in that. And so where are some ways that we can practice these disciplines, right? Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11, I personally believe this is the most important one, right? And that's just to read your Bible, to spend more time in God's Word. You need to become a heavy consumer of God's Word. I'm not saying you have to, you know, spend 100 hours a week, which would be beautiful. Any increase in God's Word will increase an increase in your understanding of who God is. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. How do you know what's right and wrong? By reading God's word, and scripture will do what? It'll show you what's sinful, and it'll show you what's good. With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I think every one of us have that prayer, don't we? Lord, don't let me wander from what you want me to do. But our sinful self does what? It wanders. These disciplines will help with that. I have stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Dude, I cannot express this enough, that the importance of scripture reading and meditating on scripture and thinking on scripture, I cannot express to you the benefit that'll be in your life if you just increase it by 1%. Now that 1% is whatever it is for you. I don't know what that 1% is, but if you will just simply increase a little, I think you'll be amazed at what God does with that. As you study something in scripture, man, maybe not that day, but man, sometime soon, you're going to be like, you know what? That's exactly what I just read. It was just talking about that. And it's going to help me with that. I'm going to be able to go to school, or I'm going to be able to go to work. And I'll be like, man, scripture just addressed that issue. But the problem is, if you never spend time in God's word, if you're counting on your Sunday school teacher, or you're counting on me on a Sunday morning, man, I get 40 minutes with you, maybe 50 today, David, I don't know, we'll see. I get 40 minutes with you every Sunday. I'm telling you right now, if that's all the scripture you're consuming, you are deficient in your scripture, right? You're like someone who goes to the doctor, like, my bones keep breaking, and they do a test, they're like, man, you're deficient in calcium, right? The same thing is if you're just counting on this 40 minutes for your scripture, and this is all you're consuming, you are deficient in your Bible information. It's an important thing for us to be doing. And what I would encourage you to do is, man, just increase reading your Bible by 1%. Just commit to that, right? Find a way to do that. Make time for it. Because I can promise you this, you make time for a lot of other things in your life that I'm telling you right now aren't as important as reading your Bible. I didn't look this stat up because, man, it would probably be shocking. And I do it too. Doom scrolling is what they call it. Facebook Marketplace is mine. I get on Facebook Marketplace, next thing I know, man, I'm looking at Thundercats. And I'm like, why am I looking up Thundercats? Anybody know what Thundercats are? No, you guys are way too cool to know what that is, right? I'm looking at toys for my kid. I'm like, 30 minutes, 40 minutes. And I look up, and I was like, it's 60 minutes. And I'm doom scrolling. And I'm like, now I'm trying to talk a guy down. I'm like, will you take $6 for it? And I'm like, I don't want it. If I replaced half of that scrolling on Facebook Marketplace with scripture reading, what would be the improvement in my life? A large one. And the same goes for you as well. I don't know what you do with your time, right? I don't know what you scroll. I don't know what you read about, right? But I can tell you this, if you'll add more scripture and less of that, you will benefit from it. And I think that's what God desires for you. I think that's what he wants. I want that more for me. I want it more for you. The second one here. So the first one is discipline of the word, reading God's word. The second discipline that I would encourage you to be thinking on and to commit to is the discipline of prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. I'm not going to read the whole thing, Steve. I'm just going to jump right in here. We talk about the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer. That's verse 9. Pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Christ gave us that as the model prayer. And he says, this is what prayer should look like. And it's a very simple pattern. It's adoration. Adoration of who God is. Confession of our sins. We'll talk about that here in a second, right? Of the importance of confession, our sins. An attitude of thanksgiving. I'm so thankful for what you're doing for me, God. And the last one there is an attitude of supplication that we then say, Lord, my heart desires this, and if it's your will, this is what I'd like to see happen. I'd like to see healing in this person's life. I'd like to see an improvement in this area, but only if it's in your will. And this is what something that I try to add into almost all my prayers is, Lord, if it's your will, then give me the strength to accept your will. Whether it be what I want to happen or whether it be what you want to happen, Lord, give me the strength to accept what your will is in these prayers. But this is what we need to be doing. We need to be spending time in conversation with the Lord. I think it's one of the things, and this is one of the things that frustrate me about human nature, and it really frustrates me about myself, is that, man, we start taking things for granted, right? We take our spouse for granted because, well, they're always there, and I love them, and I'm going to see them all the time. And some of you take your kids for granted. You're like, well, they better do what they're supposed to do because they're my kids. Or you take your job for granted. Like, you wake up like, oh, I hate going to this place. How many people love to have an income every 2 weeks coming in, right? And so we just, as humans, we take things for granted. And I think when it comes to our prayer life, we also take for granted that you have an open line of communication with the creator of the universe. The entity that spoke everything that you know in nature into creation, that has always existed, you have direct access to have a conversation with him. And you're like, well, you know what? I'd like for him to talk back to me. I got an answer for that too. You know how you make that happen? You just simply read your Bible out loud, and you will hear God speaking to you. Because God, through the Holy Spirit, what did he do? He inspired men to record scripture for us. And so if you want to hear him talking back to you, read your Bible out loud. This is God talking to you. I think so often what happens is we don't spend enough time in communication with the Lord. And we're not still. And we don't carve those times out. I've read about this before. The most recently I read a study about where they took men and women, and they've learned through research that most people can't stand silence. Some of you are like, man, I just pray for silence in my home, right? But the reality is people can't stand silence. Like, you know, the awkward silence in a conversation and somebody just start talking about something. And so they took men and women, and they developed this thing. They think, what does universally everyone hate? And it's electric shock. And if you've ever been around an electric fence, it hurts, right? You know, talk your brother into it, like, I bet you can't grab it. Grab it, gets a shock. And so this was the study. You could sit in a room for 15 minutes in complete silence. No sound, no noise, no nothing. But if you got bored, you could press the button and you would shock yourself, right? They're like the researchers are like, well, this is, no one's going to shock themselves. 90% of men shock themselves, right? Some of you are like, that makes total sense. Women was only like 40%. So men, answer that. But the reality is this, is that we don't like silence. We don't want to be still. I'm telling you, in this spiritual discipline, if you will train yourself to be more still and more quiet and more silent, I'm telling you, you'll feel the Spirit moving and directing you. But the problem is we live in a time and age to where no one wants silence. Right, even if you're doing maybe you're doing some house chores, maybe people got their earbuds in, or they got the TV on, they're looking for some background noise. We, for some reason, don't like silence, and as Christians, I think it's a good discipline to make some time for some silence, to spend some time alone with the Lord, to spend some time just being still and knowing who God is. Right, something that, and I see this a lot of times with our young people, because I'll spring it on them like, hey, why don't you pray for us? They're like, oh, I don't know how to pray, right? Praying is not about eloquence. It's not about being fancy. It's not about showing your vocabulary. It's not about using these big words. What prayer really is about dependence and knowing that you need the Lord. And so there's no wrong way to do this. Just simply have a conversation. What we see Jesus teaching there is he's got that pattern of adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And the reality is this, is daily time spent in prayer will benefit you tremendously. I always like to point this out to people. If Christ, we know who Christ is, he's co-eternal, he's part of the triune, right? If Christ made time in his life for prayer, probably ought to make time in your life for prayer too. Because he did it. And remember, he's in perfect alignment with God's will. He's perfectly submitting to the Lord. He's perfectly doing all these things just right. And he makes time to spend time in communication with God the Father. I'm going to guess you and I should probably be doing more of that as well. Right? Another one here, the discipline of gathering. Hebrews chapter 10, 24 through 25. You guys don't need to hear this because you're gathered here right now. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is one that we're not going to spend a ton of time on, but the reality of this, we as Christians should desire to gather with like-minded believers. And that's on a Sunday morning. We do that. We do that on a Sunday evening. We do that on Wednesday evening as well, is that we should have a desire to meet together. You know, you guys know this person, and maybe it was you at one point in your life, because if you're here right now, you're probably not making this argument to people. Well, man, I could be a Christian at home. You can. I think that's true. I think you can be a Christian at home. But why? Why would you want to be a Christian that's doing everything on their own? Why wouldn't you want to gather with God's people? I mean, not just because I'm, you know, blessed to be your shepherd, but man, I get excited about Sunday mornings. I get excited to see you all. I get excited to watch people, the kids, head off to children's church. I get excited to gather with you all because, man, you know what? We need more of this. This is what Christians should desire. We should desire to gather with one another, right? Spiritual growth thrives in community, not in isolation. One of the main advantages to gathering with God's people is it reminds you, you are not the only person dealing with that issue. You're like, well, man, let me tell you what's happening in my life. And somebody in your small group like, man, I went through that last year. And somebody else like, well, man, my cousin went through that, and this is how they dealt with it. It's important to come together and gather with one another. Where's the main place we do that? We do this right now. We're doing that. But this is basically a one-way communication. One of the main places you do this is in your small group study in a Sunday school class. And something else that I want to challenge you, or I want to encourage you in this, right? I'm trying to be an encourager here, is, man, I would like to see everyone in here try Sunday school. Just give it a shot. Show up to one. We got a bunch, and, man, we are blessed. I think here at Dallasburg, we're blessed in many, many ways, and I just can't list them all. But one of the ones that I always like to tell people is we have some great Sunday school teachers. We got Sunday school teachers, and, man, they work at it. Because they come and they ask me questions. I'm like, man, that is a deep question. Like, I don't know. I'm reading the material too. It's like, I don't know where you came up with that question from that, but I love it. And we've got committed teachers here that are spending hours preparing their Sunday school lesson for you so that you can grow in your understanding of who the Lord is. I encourage you to find a Sunday school class. Give it a shot. If you don't like it, come and talk to me. We'll talk about it, right? Something else that is, I would encourage you to commit to attendance, right? Commit to faithful attendance and active participation in our church. It's very important. We are not called as Christians to be pew sitters and just sit there and do nothing. That would have made no sense to the early church. Like, this is a message that would have not needed to happen in the early church because they would have never done that, right? Just wouldn't have happened. My watch is telling me to calm down. I'm getting excited. Okay, move on here. Last but not least is the discipline of service and generosity. Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, this is something that, man, I don't think I'd have to beat this drum a lot. Well, one side of the drum, probably don't have to beat a ton. Is the reality of this is, man, this is a working church, right? You guys have heard me say this when I get together with the other pastors. They're always talking about, they're like, it's time to reanimate a corpse. Like, we can't get anybody to show up. We can't get anybody to do anything. Nobody will do anything. And I was like, man, at Dallasburg, I'm the opposite. I'm like, hey, let's slow down. Like, let's talk about this. Like, let's organize this a little bit. Let's get a plan here together. We don't have that problem here. But the reality is this, is man, that's probably a certain percentage. That's not 100% of the church, right? And the truth is this, is that if you love the Lord and you love your church, you will serve. You'll serve the Lord and you'll serve your church. And so one of the big things that I would like to encourage you to think on is try to identify some ministry that this church does that we offer here and step into serving into that some way, right? One of the things that I always like to tell people when I discuss serving in the church is that no one's asking you to serve in everything. Like, no one's asking you to do that. I actually would encourage you not to do that because you're going to be mediocre at everything if you try to do a little bit of everything. But find a ministry that speaks to you, that you think that you've been asked to serve in, and do what? Commit to that and do it. Whether that be making museum windows, which we're so thankful for how cool the museum windows, whether that be serving in the nursery, we need more of that because the Lord is blessing us with kids after kids, we're so thankful for that. Whether that be, maybe that's, you know, being a backup teacher for your Sunday school class and you want to commit to that, just find some place to serve and commit to that. And there's also an aspect of that, and I think some pastors get nervous talking about this. I do not get nervous talking about this, but the reality is this, is you also should be financially supporting your church, right? We're called to do that as well as followers of the Lord, as trusting in Him and doing what He called us to do. We're supposed to do what? We're supposed to be generous with what the Lord's blessed us with as we give it back to His church to do what? To share the gospel and to serve. And I would encourage you to think on that as well. Now, what are some obstacles to these disciplines? What are some things that are preventing us from doing these things? Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I think addresses this very well. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that has been set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Amen. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Let me point something out there for you there in verse 1. Let us lay aside every weight. And then it goes on, it says, and sin. So not every weight is sin. Right? He makes a distinction there between weight and sin. One of the things I would encourage you to pray about, and this is falls into this category, I think this is a dangerous prayer. Because I do think God will answer it, and I think He's going to show you something that you're kind of shocked at. A dangerous prayer. Lord, pray to Him, show me some of the distractions in my life. Show me some of these weights that I need to lay aside, right? Show me, and I tell you, a good place for you to start is your digital habits, right? I mean, we all walk around. It's in my pocket right now. You got this little computer we walk around with. How many times a day? If your phone will actually show you how many minutes a day you use it. Go look that up and look at that number, and you'll be shocked at it. The reality is this, it's a distraction. It's distracting you from focusing on God. Some other thing is time wasters. Dude, the Lord can't talk to anybody more than me. I am a rabbit hole master, right? The other day, I spent 2 hours reading and researching the way dogs perceive time differently than humans. 100%. And after those 2 hours, the Spirit, I mean, it couldn't be anything but the Spirit, because I love that stuff. The Spirit was like, why? And I was like, that's a great question. I don't know, right? 2 hours completely wasted on something. It doesn't matter. Who cares? I care, kind of, right? It doesn't matter. I encourage you, be very careful of those things in your life. I believe one of the ways that Satan has been most successful in our world is by distracting you, right? It's by getting you distracted, by taking your eyes off the prize. If any of you guys in here are teaching a young person how to drive, it's a very simple truth. You drive wherever you look, right? You're driving down the road like, oh man, look at that tractor. What, the car starts drifting. Sometimes I have to talk to my wife. I was like, hey, Melissa, we're in the wrong side of the road again. I'm like, let's get this back over. She goes, yeah, but you see their house? They just painted their front door. I was like, it's beautiful. I like it, but I want to live in this car ride. Let's get this back over here. The truth is this. You move towards what you focus on. And I would encourage you to think about that. To maybe do a little audit of your life and look audit of your time. What are you focusing on, right? We have to lay aside those things that cling closely to us. Right? Unaddressed sin, unrepentant sin, suffocates discipline. And so what you have to do, you need to look inwardly, like, what do I have any sin in my life that I have not repented of? And what does repent mean? It takes two turns. We got to turn away from that sin and do what? Turn towards God. Do we have any unrepentant sin in our life? And what do? Is we have this wonderful thing. We get to confess that sin. And as crazy as this sounds, you know what God does when you confess that sin and you mean it? He forgives you. And then he forgets about it. And then you get to move on with that weight removed from you. It's a beautiful thing, right? We have to run with endure. Spiritual disciplines are not about perfection, but about direction. Let me say that again. These spiritual disciplines are not about perfection. They're about direction. So we're not trying to be perfect like Christ, because we can't. But you know what we can do today? We can be a little bit closer. And you know what we can be tomorrow? A little bit more closer. That's what we're chasing after here. We're chasing after a direction of the Lord and away from the world. And that's very important for us to think through that. And it just takes effort, right? We don't start with doing everything. We start with doing something. And I encourage you today that you'll start doing something. No one's calling you to do everything. I don't do everything either. But the Lord is calling you to do something, to grow in him. I was reading an illustration here, and there was a young man that was being forced to take piano lessons. Some of you endured this. I personally was made to take clogging lessons. You don't imagine how well that worked out, right? I know, it's funny, right? I can show you some clogging moves later. I can show you no clogging moves later. I don't know any moves, right? But he's being forced to take piano lessons. And this young man, he hated practicing. Just couldn't stand it. Like, was like, oh my gosh, I can't do it. But he did love the piano, and he loved the way it sounded, and he was really in, and he had a lot of different records, and he would listen to it. And so his mom got him tickets to this famous pianist, and they went, and the little boy was amazed by how good he was. And somehow they got backstage, and they were talking to the guy, and the boy told him, he says, man, I want to be like you. I want to play the piano like you. But you know, kids, that when they're young, they haven't learned to be good liars yet. But he also told on himself, and he said, but I don't want to do any practice. He says, I don't want to practice. I want to be like you. I want to play. I want to be amazing at this instrument, but I don't want to practice. And the famous pianist smiles at him. He says, man, everyone wants the music. Everyone would like to be able to play like Crystal. How cool would that be to be able to do that? Everyone wants that. But the music only comes to those who are willing to practice when no one is listening. And I think there's a very clear application point for us in these disciplines and growing like Christ. The reality is, if you want to be more like Christ, it takes daily practice. It takes daily discipline. It takes every day choosing to be more like Christ and less like the world. And the reality is this, is just like the amazing piano, the greatness is not in the performance. The greatness is in the daily discipline. That's what impresses the Lord. This is what the Lord desires for us, is for us to submit to him daily in discipline, to submit to him because we love him. And so what I pray is that what you'll work on this year is a plan to put more word in your life, a plan to have more prayer in your life, a plan to continue to gather with the church, and to find you a ministry to serve in. If you can grow in these four spiritual disciplines in your life, I think you'll be shocked this time next year, because we'll probably have another sermon this time next year very similar to this. You'll be shocked at how much more sanctified you are if you'll truly commit to these four disciplines and you'll be intentional with them every day. You won't even recognize yourself a year from now. Let's pray. Dear God, Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for this call to discipline. Lord, I thank you that you care for us enough that you meet us wherever we're at, in the muck, in the mud, in the ditch. Lord, you meet us there. But Lord, you love us too much to leave us there. The indwelling of the Spirit slowly but surely begins to change us. It begins to teach us to desire you over the world. It begins to teach us about the importance of reading Scripture. It begins to teach us about the importance of prayer, teach us the importance of gathering with God's people, and the importance of finding a ministry to serve alongside you with. Lord, we just thank you for these changes that you put in every one of our hearts. Lord, I know that when we come to this and everyone's busy, there's not a person with us today that isn't busy. But Lord, I think that Scripture bears this out in a very simple manner, is that we need to be more busy with you and less busy with the world. So Lord, just give us that desire. Give us those opportunities. Lord, we know we have the indwelling of the Spirit. We have the strength. But Lord, we understand that in some small manner, we also have a responsibility in these disciplines. We know we have you. We know you are the vine. We know we're called to bear fruit. But Lord, thank you for the support structure of these disciplines that will grow us in that and help us get better. Lord, I just ask that through your word and through the indwelling of the Spirit that you continue to convict us and teach us and guide us and mold us more into the image of your Son and less into the image of the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I invite you, let us stand and let us respond. We will sing the doxology twice, and together at the end we will come for the Amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise God from whom all blessings.
Guys are good singers. I'm so thankful. I have a down front. Oh man, I get the full advantage of that. So sounds so good. Again, just want to encourage everyone to pray to God, ask Him to reveal some things in your life that maybe you need to lay aside, and things you need to pick up. Right? We know what we need to pick up. We need to pick up more Scripture reading, more prayer time, more attendance, more support, more generosity. We know we need to pick up. But sometimes we just need to be shown what we need to lay aside. And I think we've all got some things to lay aside there. Talking about doing something, we'll be gathering back tonight at 5 o'clock. Today's visit church. Melissa's already got the cookies. The cookies are ready to go. We got new pens. New pens are in, so we have some pens to hand out. We're going to gather up tonight at 5 o'clock. We're going to go out. We're going to visit some people from church. We're going to maybe invite some people to church if they're not members yet. And so if you're looking for something to do, if you're looking for a way to serve, we got something happening today at 5 o'clock back here at church, right? And so we'll see some of you then. Also, I didn't get it in the bulletin, Bobby. My mistake. The 4th is Bobby is kicking off a Bible study of Romans. And so if you're looking for a way to get more into the Word, 5 o'clock, is it 5 o'clock? Is that right? 5 o'clock on Sundays, be studying through the book of Romans. And so a lot of opportunities to learn, a lot of opportunities to grow in our church, and we're so thankful for those, right? Renee, will you close us in prayer? Thank you.